Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today is podcast number 1689. The topic is training and the title is 5 Tips to Level Up, to go from beginner to intermediate to advanced. That's the idea. So what this came from was a trainer and I were talking. They have been a personal trainer for over 5 years. And they've made great progress, but things have kind of plateaued for them. They feel kind of stagnant. They've been busy with business, a little overwhelmed with everything, and they want to get back on track. So they were asking what would be my idea of some things that they can look for, considering they're kind of no longer new to this. They've been doing it forever. In their mind. Now, they've been a trainer for 5 years, but they've been lifting weights, I believe, for like more like 10 to 15. So they're like, I know the basics. What would be when I'm going to dive back into myself and reprioritize my own health? What can I look for in order to help me level up? So that way it kind of reignites interest and motivation, as well as can help if they can show progress that can better sell them as a trainer to the people that the gym they work at, and hopefully, you know, kind of sell themselves more, their services more. So what we talked about? We talked about 5 tips in our last Zoom call, and I thought it'd be fun to share what we talked about, as I do believe they would help everyone else. So the first thing we talked about was your state of health. When people want to level up, when you want to get to the next level, you have to be mindful of what you're doing with self-care. If you don't take care of yourself, you cannot make that next step. The reason why is, if you think about what goes into self-care, I simplified it into hormones, nutrition, hydration, sleep, and stress management. So 5 elements. Now, this is all stuff that we were able to discuss in a single Zoom session. So there's, you could definitely dive into all of these things way deeper, but I just want to touch on them so that way you can hear across everything I say, you know, this one or two things doesn't look like I don't feel like I'm putting a lot of attention into that. So if you deep dive into it, you'll get some, you know, progress. But their state of health. Recently had somebody do blood work. They were male and they got the testosterone back. The testosterone is 350 something. That's trash. The normal physiological level depends on, you know, kind of what reference you use, but would be somewhere between, say, 300 to 1100. Whereas, you know, in your prime, your 20s and 30s, you'd typically be, you know, between, say, 800 to 1100. And then as you get into your 40s, 50s, 60s, it would be normal that the body's testosterone levels would drop. It doesn't mean that's optimal. It just means that's what normally happens. Now, the challenge is when you're in your 40s, 50s, and 60s, if you still want to be able to perform as you did in your 20s and 30s, if your testosterone is in your 300s, you're going to feel like crap. Your body's going to hurt. You're going to feel tired. You're not going to have as great of a like muscle building response to the same amount of training and nutrition. You're not going to have the same strength response to the same amount of training and nutrition as you used to with higher testosterone levels. So testosterone levels of like 300 or lower, obviously, would be absolutely awful. Awful. So that's something you want to look into. Women. Your testosterone levels and estrogen levels can all be jacked up as well. So the clients I work with, my one-on-one clients, I have them get blood work done so we can see where their testosterone, estrogen levels are. There's other elements, but that's just the basics of it. And their thyroid. So we want to see, what are we working with? You know, is our body system as a whole, is it as optimally responsive as we would typically want? If people aren't looking at their hormones, you can be putting in the right amount of work, right frequency, right stuff. You can do everything right, but you're going to get a slowed response if the system of your body is not optimal. So checking your hormones is extremely beneficial. There's a lot of like hormone clinics you can get, like the clients I work with, I send them to one that I'm familiar with, and I have them get blood work done, meet with the the doctor. They talk about everything. Then I kind of double check and talk as well. And then we just kind of create a course of action if we think that there's anything that might be needed. Sometimes just take like glutathione shots, which helps like with just general overall mood. And there's a lot more to it. So I'll skip some of that stuff. But you do want to get your hormones checked. Nutrition. If you're just kind of eating, you know, as you normally do, but you don't have known caloric intake every day, known amounts of protein every day, if you're not timing carbohydrates before your workouts, you know, there's a lot of elements that if you're not maximizing those nutritionally, you're not going to maximize how your body's going to respond. Same thing with hydration. If you're dehydrated, you're going to have tight muscles. You're going to feel cranky joints, like nothing's going to feel good. If your sleep is low, everything goes to shit. Absolutely everything goes to shit. So you got to pay attention to your sleep quality. You know, even if you can only get 6 hours of sleep a night, sleep quality is actually still very important. So you can actually just get better sleep. We have a podcast, 1149, is a podcast titled Mindset, Creating a Healthier Sleep Pattern. So you can check that out if you'd like to. But that's kind of like a be-all, end-all kind of systematic thing. And then just stress management. If you're super stressed, you're going to be high cortisol, probably making horrible food choices. You're going to not feel like you can really deep dive into your workout or pay attention to your workout because you're so stressed doing all this other stuff. So the state of health, that is by far the first thing that I would recommend if somebody wants to get to the next level to address these things. It's not going to be the exercises you're doing. It's not training frequency. It's not sets and reps. It's this whole state of health, the body in general, the system of your body. The reason why this stuff is important is if any of these elements are off, your performance per workout will be less than optimal, meaning you won't be able to get the best stimulus for adaptations from your training because you just won't be able to perform to your best. You're just not going to be as focused. You're not going to be able to put as intense work. You're not going to be able to do as much work. There's just all the aspects of performance are going to be hindered. But then also your recovery capacity, your recovery responsiveness will all be limited as well. So not only are you not going to create the best stimulus for change in your training, you won't be able to best actually make those changes between your training. So when you go home, you eat, you sleep, you know, you give your body time to make the adaptations and changes, it won't be able to actually do that if your hormones are off, your nutrition is off, your hydration, your sleep, your stress management are off. So by far, the first thing that people want to focus on is the state of health. You want to get your hormones checked, testosterone, estrogen, thyroid. You want to have your nutrition on point. And we have our free nutrition education page on our website. On that page is a document that you can click, you can view, you can print, and it'll teach you how to write your own nutrition program. For hydration, aim for roughly about half your body weight in ounces of fluid a day. That's a good general spot just to see where you're at. Sleep, we said that was podcast 1149. That's your Creating a Healthier Sleep Pattern podcast. And then stress management, I would laughingly say good luck. But we do actually have some stress management podcasts. One of my favorite ones that I tend to send people to is podcast 1023. It's a mindset podcast titled Stress Management Options and Priorities. And there's other ones like podcast 1346 is a mindset podcast titled Mental Management When Stressed. And that can be very helpful. So stress is real. Everybody's got to deal with it. But the better you deal with it, the better results you'll get in your training. And all of this stuff, when it comes with the state of health, hormones, nutrition, hydration, sleep, and stress management, all of that has a very significant impact into your progress and whether you can level up to that next step. Now, the next stuff, you could argue that this is in any order, but the first one was definitely the first one. The next tip I have, now this is maybe not going to be as supported by other people if you look around the fitness industry, but the next tip I have is to change your programming, like the exercises you're doing, every 4 weeks. Now, you'll see a lot of programs that are written for 8, 12, 16 weeks. I would argue that the majority of them are written that way because the trainer doesn't have to write them more frequently. That's a little bit of a, you know, kind of an edgy argument. But I do believe that changing exercises every 4 weeks is, without any doubt, optimal for best progress and adaptation. Now, I have done this with my clients where I write them brand new workouts every 4 weeks, new exercises. Now, the exercises might not be that amazingly different, just small nuances. And we do cycle back through exercises all the time because I want them to have a good stimulus from this exercise. And maybe we're going to take 8 weeks off, come back to it, you know, for another 4 weeks. That way they can see how it feels different than it did last time. So you can definitely cycle through exercises. But I would argue that it's important to change the exercises you do every 4 weeks. In general, if a movement doesn't feel new, it doesn't produce new. If the movement is new and challenging, then your body is challenged by the movement, and therefore it is a greater reason for the body to make adaptations and changes because of the movement. If our body can already do something, it won't make changes. It has to feel as though it is inadequate in some way. Now, we want that way to be specific, whether it's strength or muscle tissue, whatever, you know, whatever our goal might be. We want the way in which the body can feel inadequate, we want it to be specific to what changes we want. But we want the body to feel like it's inadequate, like it can't quite do what we're asking it to do, therefore it has to make those changes. If you change every 4 weeks, what I love about that is the first week, you're just familiarizing yourself. The second week, you're like, okay, I kind of sort of got this. The third and fourth week, you can really push yourself. And then you move on to a new movement. If you stay with movements longer than that, the way in which to create progressions, the way in which to continue to increase the challenge, becomes at a greater expense at reducing technical quality. Meaning you're not performing the movement as crisply or as cleanly, and therefore it increases your risk of injury. It also increases your risk of small joint annoyances. So your elbow will start to hurt. Your shoulder will start to hurt. So I've trained clients, like I have my one client, my one powerlifting client, international elite powerlifter, really freaking good. we've been working together now since 2016. So it's been 7 years. And for 7 years, I've wrote him a brand new program every month. So every 4 weeks. So I've written him 84. Oh, wait, no. How many weeks? Yeah, every 4 weeks. Yeah, 12 weeks. Yeah, so I've written him 84 programs over the span of us, like, working together, which to me doesn't even sound like a lot, just because I'm used to writing so many programs all the time. But the idea is within 4 weeks, people have learned the movement. They've pushed themselves to make progress, and if you stay with it any longer, the only way they can make significant progress is probably to let go of technical quality of the movement, or the progress they're making is just not significant. So maybe they're doing 100 pounds for 3 sets of 10. And then all of a sudden, week 5, you're like, well, I got a set of 11, then another set of 10, then another set of 10. Who gives a shit? Like, that's not significant. One extra repetition isn't going to, like, really push a lot of adaptation. You need to be adding poundages. You need to be adding repetitions, not reps, not just like a single rep, you know? Like, one rep isn't going to matter much. So I know, like, bodybuilders tend to stay with stuff, like, ad nauseum, which is insanely frustrating. But they'll stay with something forever, and you'll ask them, well, what's the progression you made since last week? Well, it just feels cleaner. Like, I feel like I'm in more control of the weight. I'm like, okay, but it's like week 11. You've been doing this movement for 11 weeks. Do you really think the level of control, even though you haven't moved up in weight, you haven't moved up in repetitions, you feel like you control the movement better, does that level of control feel as though it created the muscle to feel like challenged to grow? You might feel more coordinated with the movement, but does that mean the body's going to respond by making you bigger or stronger? No. Basically, what you just said to the body was, hey, body, the way you currently are, it feels like we're moving the movement a little bit better. I'm moving the weights better. I feel more coordinated. That's great. So body, you're doing a great job just the way you are. That is not this message you want to send. That is not the message. If your body thinks it's good enough, it isn't going to change anything. You have to send a stimulus that's like, oh, dear God, like that was really freaking challenging. That really like was super hard to stay in the right position. I barely thought I was going to get those last couple reps. There needs to be some urgency to the way you feel. That's going to push the body to create new things, to actually make progressions. The third tip is to prioritize mobility and small weaknesses. Now, I've talked about this a lot, but we do have a podcast for the perfect warm-up. And the reason why I like that is, let me see if I can find it. I think it's the best warm-up routine. That's what it is. Yeah. So podcast 1112 is a training podcast titled The Best Warm-Up Routine. And that'll tell you exactly how to warm up your body every workout. If you focus on hip mobility, shoulder mobility, which includes like upper back kind of thoracic spine strength and positioning, and then also core strength. If you focus on all of those elements first, it'll ensure that you have proper movement mechanics in the exercises you'll be performing for the rest of the workout. Therefore, the targeted muscles actually get the maximal stimulus, and it helps reduce wear and tear and angriness in your joints because you're going to have proper fluid flow through the joints to warm them up before big heavy movements, and you're going to have proper balance of muscular tensions around the joints so that way the joints aren't moving in some small, subtle way in an improper pathway. You want to make sure the pathways are super set, everything's crisp, everything's clean, the body can move really well. The idea of that is if you focus on mobility and small weaknesses, the weakest link of a system limits the system, right? Whatever the weakest link is will limit what the whole system can do. If you have weakness in your core, if you have weakness in your hip, If you have weakness in your core, if you have weakness in your hips, if your shoulders have, you know, a rounded, angled forward position, like inward and downward position, like all of those negatives when it comes to weaknesses or bad positions of joints, they're all going to cause limiting factors with movement progressions. Therefore, it's going to cause limiting factors with body adaptations. If you don't pay attention to the quality of your mobility, your hips, your shoulders, your core, then you're going to slowly lose track of the quality of the foundation of your body. And then the bigger systems, the bigger muscles, the bigger movement mechanics, none of that can continue to progress because you have all these small little weaknesses. So, I, in a good way, I like it, but it does make me laugh, is I'm 290 pounds, but I do routinely have people tell me, like, wow, you move pretty well for how heavy you are. And that will be, like, if I have an athletic client and I'm showing them some warm-ups, I cannot do what all of my athletes do. Oh, absolutely hell no. But I can do some crazy positions. I can do some jumping drills. I can do some mobility stretches and movements that are probably not typical of somebody 290 pounds, but that's how I've been able to progress from 165 pounds when I graduated high school to now 290, and I'm actually leaner at 290 than I was at 165. So I've been able to make enormous difference. I've gained a whole human being in regards to weight load to my body in muscle tissue. I've gained over 100 pounds of muscle tissue, well over 100 pounds of muscle tissue. And a significant portion of that is because I stay mobile. I make sure my movement quality is really good. So that way, whatever my weak links are continuing to progress so they don't hold back the system as a whole, right? So that would be tip number three, is prioritize mobility in small weaknesses. Tip number four, when it comes to exercise selection, simplicity with accuracy. That's the balance. Simplicity with accuracy. What this means is when I'm picking movements for myself or for my clients, I want them to be simple. They're not crazy elaborate. They're not spending 25 minutes setting up bands and chains and positions and all this other crazy shit. So I do use bands and chains, by the way. But sometimes people get caught up in trying to find these nuancey, weird, crazy movements, and they'll spend an hour and a half in the gym, and then they did three working sets because they spent the whole damn time trying to set up all this stupid shit. So you want to keep it simple. You want to find things that you can set up quickly, tear down quickly, you can get into quickly, you can get out of quickly. Just nice, quick, easy things. But you want them to be highly accurate to what your needs are. Extreme accuracy. I think that's one of my strengths as a trainer, is when somebody comes to me and they tell me they have, you know, anything, whether it's a growth limitation, like they're not growing well in certain muscle tissue, or they're not getting stronger in a certain position or a certain thing, I can pinpoint down to the exact type of movement or the exact muscle mass, muscle group that is limiting, and then find a movement that isolates that thing really well, very well. As we strengthen that one thing, the whole system becomes bigger, everything moves forward, and it looks great, right? But it's because the exercises were simple, but highly accurate. You want to find what works for you and then make very small changes every 4 weeks. So one of the movements, for example, I like right now is I'm trying to grow depth to the middle of my back. From deadlifting a lot of years, my spinal rectors are very well developed, and I have wide lats, but I don't have thickness in my lower traps. I want to have more thickness to the middle of my back. So I have these kintsui, I don't even know how to say them, but K-E-N-S-U-I. They're like these plastic handles that you can put over barbells. So a barbell is typically just an overhand grip, right? Or purely like supinated underhand grip. Well, these kintsui, and I don't even know how to say them right, but I think that's it. Again, K-E-N-S-U-I. They're plastic handles you can put on a barbell to give you a neutral grip or to give you an angled overhand or an angled underhand grip. What I'm doing right now to help build thickness in the middle of my back is on our Smith machine, I'm doing standing rows. Not bent over rows, standing rows. And when I use the kintsui handles, the neutral grip handles, I can pull up and actually back against the pressure of the Smith machine. And it really, really, really ridiculously targets my lower traps very well. I love the movement. Now, I like that movement so much that after 4 weeks, I don't want to just scrap it. I don't want to go away from it. It's a really damn good movement. So I have a neutral grip handles, I have the slightly overhand handles, and I have the slightly underhand handles. So every 4 weeks, I just rotate what handle I'm using. It's still the movement I want, but it's a small enough change that it changes a little bit of, like, the slightly angled underhand. I get a little more lats involved. So I get a little bit more upper lats with my lower traps. The slightly angled overhand, I actually get a little more upper traps and a little less lats. So I'm trading what's pairing with the lower traps. The lower traps are always involved, no, whether it's a neutral angled underhand or angled overhand. But the angled underhand, it's the lower traps and lats. The angled overhand, it's the lower traps and upper traps. And then the neutral, it's just kind of everything blended. So I can rotate through that. You know, rotate through those different handles. Therefore, I keep the movement that I really want, but I create a small enough change that I reset progressions and I reset the challenge of the movement every 4 weeks. So when it comes to exercises, you want to find the simplest thing that works, but it's highly accurate. So don't make everything crazy and elaborate and chaotic. Just find the most simple, basic movements that target exactly what you want, and then make small changes from there. Tip number 5, the last thing, is to eliminate obstacles. In everything you do, in your training, your nutrition, you know, getting your hormones checked, hydration, sleep, stress management, and all the stuff you do, track what you do. See if you're missing anything. If you keep missing a certain meal, find out why. Figure out how to not miss it again. If you're missing training, maybe every time you try to train on Thursdays it's super short and you can't get everything in, fix it. Either try to get there to have more time in the gym or switch the movements around so you just don't need as many exercises. Maybe you can pick more compound movements and instead of needing 8 exercises, you only need 5. But find your obstacles and eliminate them. Whatever's holding you back from making that next like level of accuracy in hydration, in sleep, in nutrition, in training, whatever's holding you back from being more consistent, find out what it is, figure out how to fix it. That's it. The people I work with who achieve the best results don't accept anything as, well, that's just the way it is. Absolute bullshit statement. If you're like, well, you know, I can't really do anything about that, then you better be happy with where you are because you ain't going anywhere else. You are not going to progress forward if you don't progress yourself forward. If you don't find ways to address what's holding you back. If you just accept those obstacles. And then you're like, well, I'm just going to keep training and, you know, hopefully everything will work around it. Stupid. Stupid. Because you're going to waste a lot of time and effort and energy. You're going to do all of this stuff and get 80, 70, 60% of the results. Figure it out. Whatever it is, you can figure it out. If you can't figure it out on your own, read books, watch videos, talk to people who maybe have done it. You know, if you're struggling to be physically fit and you have kids, talk to somebody who is physically fit and has kids. Well, one of my best friends, him and his wife have a podcast called First Half Parenting. You can find it on Podbean. You can find it probably a lot of places. But it's called First Half Parenting. And it deals with like the first half of the ages. Like say like newborn baby up to say like 12, 13, 14 years old. Somewhere in there. Him and his wife, they've had six kids, six daughters. And he has competed three times in men's physique competitions. He's physically fit. He exercises regularly. She also does as well. She exercises regularly. She's physically fit. They can do it. They do it with six kids. If you want to learn how to be physically fit with kids, people have done it. So his name's Paul Peterson. I'll say his name because if you look him up on his First Half Parenting, you're going to see his name there. But great podcast. Him and his wife, Sherry, have a great podcast that'll teach you how to better take care of yourself along with being a better parent and how to navigate the chaos of being a parent. So they have done it. That's a great resource, for example, for parenting. But whatever your challenge might be, you know, if you work 60, 70, 80 hours a week, people do that. Talk to any personal trainer. they absolutely work that long. Talk to any business owner. Golly. You can do it. Absolutely. If you're struggling with how to do it, books, videos, talk to people. You know, just don't stay there and say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, freaking talk to somebody. Find out what they know. And maybe you can do what they know how to do, right? So that's tip number five, eliminate obstacles. So again, the five tips. Number one, and absolutely definitely priority number one, is to take care of your state of health. Get your hormones, nutrition, hydration, sleep, and stress management all under control. Okay, get it figured out, get it working. Then the other tips are change exercises every 4 weeks, prioritize mobility and small weaknesses. For exercise selection, choose simplicity with accuracy. And the last tip was eliminate obstacles. If you address all five of these tips, you will 100% be able to level up. If you're a beginner now, you'll be able to get to an intermediate. If you're an intermediate, you'll be able to get to advanced. If you're advanced, you're going to just get even further ahead, right? Okay. If you have any questions, shoot me an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like our podcast, please share it. The more people share it with, the more people can help. That's the whole point of the podcast, just help as many people as we can. Thank you to those who donate to support the podcast. You can donate on our website. The podcast does have a high hosting cost on all the different podcast platforms every year. So thank you very much to those who donate so I continue to do this every single day. And then if you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and please follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.